Opening the Dharma Eye, Part 1, by Ajahn Chah. Some of us start to practice, and even after a year or two, still don't know what's what. We are still unsure of the practice. When we are still unsure, we don't see that everything around us is purely Dharma. And so we turn to teachings from the Ajahns. But actually, when we know our own mind, when there is sati to look closely at the mind, there is wisdom. All times and all places become occasions for us to hear the Dharma. We can learn Dharma from nature, from trees, for example. A tree is born due to causes, and it grows following the course of nature. Right here, the tree is teaching us Dharma. But we don't understand this. In due course, it grows and grows until it buds. Flowers and fruit appear. All we see is the appearance of the flowers and fruit. We're unable to bring this within and contemplate it. Thus, we don't know that the tree is teaching us Dharma. The fruit appears, and we merely eat it without investigating. Sweet, sour, or salty. It's the nature of the fruit. And this is Dharma, the teaching of the fruit. The leaves then grow old. They wither, die, and then fall from the tree. All we see is that the leaves have fallen down. We step on them, we sweep them up, that's all. We don't investigate thoroughly, so we don't know that nature is teaching us. Later on, the new leaves sprout. And we merely see that without taking it further. We don't bring these things into our minds to contemplate. If we can bring all this inwards and investigate it, we will see that the birth of a tree and our own birth are no different. This body of ours is born and exists dependent on conditions, on the elements of earth, water, wind, and fire. It has its food. It grows and grows. Every part of the body changes and flows according to its nature. If we understand the practice, then we can see that a tree is no different from ourselves. Things which have consciousness and those without consciousness do not differ. They are the same. And if we understand this sameness, then we will see the nature of a tree. For example, we will know that it's no different from our own five khandhas: body, feeling, memory, thinking, and consciousness. If we have this understanding, then we understand Dharma. If we understand Dharma, we understand the five khandha, how they constantly shift and change, never stopping. So whether standing, walking, sitting, or lying, we should have sati to watch over and look after the mind. When we see external things, it's like seeing internal ones. When we see internals, it's the same as seeing externals. If we understand this, we can hear the teaching of the Buddha. If we understand this, we can say that Buddha nature, the one who knows, has been established. It knows the external. It knows the internal. It understands all things which arise. When we understand like this, then sitting at the foot of a tree, we hear the Buddha's teaching. Standing, walking, sitting, or lying down, we hear the Buddha's teaching. The Buddha is just this one who knows, within this very mind. It knows the Dharma. It investigates the Dharma. It's not that the Buddha, who lived so long ago, comes to talk to us. But this Buddha nature, the one who knows, arises. The mind becomes illuminated. If we establish the Buddha within our mind, then we see everything. We contemplate everything as no different from ourselves. The Buddha said that enlightenment of the Dharma is just knowing nature, the reality which is all around us, the nature which is right here. If we don't understand this nature, we experience disappointment and joy. We get lost in moods, giving rise to sorrow and regret. Getting lost in mental objects is getting lost in nature. When we get lost in nature, then we don't know Dharma. The Enlightened One merely pointed out this nature. When Anya Kondanya, the first disciple, heard the Buddha's teaching for the first time, the realization he had was nothing very complicated. He simply saw that whatever thing is born, that thing must change and grow old as a natural condition. And eventually it must die. Kondanya had never thought of this before, or if he had, it wasn't thoroughly clear. So he hadn't yet let go. He still clung to the khanda. As he sat mindfully listening to the Buddha's discourse, Buddha nature arose in him. He received a sort of Dharma transmission, which was the knowledge that all conditioned things are impermanent. Anything which is born must have aging and death as a natural result. This feeling was different from anything he'd ever known before. he truly realized his mind. And so Buddha arose within him. At that time, the Buddha declared that Anya Kondanya had received the eye of Dharma. What is it that this eye of Dharma sees? This eye sees that whatever is born has aging and death as a natural result. Whatever is born means everything, whether material or immaterial. It all comes under this whatever is born. It refers to all of nature. So the vision or understanding of the one who knows clearly entered the mind of Kondanya as he sat there. This knowledge of whatever is born became deeply embedded in his mind, enabling him to uproot attachment to the body. This attachment was Sakaya Ditti, self-identification. This means that he didn't take the body to be a self or a being. He didn't see it in terms of he or me. He didn't cling to it. He saw it clearly, thus uprooting self-view and identification. And then doubt was destroyed. Having uprooted attachment to the body, he didn't doubt his realization. Attachment to rites and rituals was also uprooted. His practice became firm and straight. Even if his body was in pain or fever, he didn't grasp it. He didn't doubt. He didn't doubt because he had uprooted clinging. When one uproots the view of the body being the self, grasping and doubt are finished with. When this view of the body as a self arises within the mind, grasping and doubt begin right there. So as the Buddha expounded the Dharma, Kondanya opened the eye of Dharma. This eye is just the one who knows clearly. It sees things differently. It sees this very nature. Seeing nature clearly, clinging is uprooted, and the one who knows is born. Previously he knew, but he still had clinging. You could say that he knew the Dharma, but he still hadn't seen it. Or he had seen the Dharma, but still wasn't one with it. At this time, the Buddha said, Kondanya knows. What did he know? He knew nature. Coming inwards, that which watches over the body is consciousness. Just this one who knows. This single awareness. If it receives through the eye, it's called seeing. If it receives through the ear, it's called hearing. Through the nose, smelling, and so on. This consciousness is just one, but when it functions at different places, we call it different things. Through the eye, we call it one thing, and the ear, we call it another. But wherever it functions, it's just one awareness. Following the scriptures, we call it the six consciousnesses. But in reality, there is only one consciousness arising at the six different bases. There are six doors, but a single awareness, which is this very mind. The mind is capable of knowing the truth of nature. If the mind still has obstructions, then we say it knows through ignorance. Knowing wrongly and seeing wrongly, or knowing and seeing rightly, is just a single awareness. We call it wrong view and right view, but it's just one thing. Right and wrong both arise from this one place. When there is wrong knowledge, then there is wrong view. But on the other hand, the path of right practice is born in this same place. When there is right view, then the wrong disappears. The wise know the wrong paths, but they relinquish them. They give them up. They are unmoved by pleasure and pain, happiness and suffering. These things still arise, but those who know don't cling to them. They let them go according to their nature. This is right view. When one knows this fully, there is liberation. Happiness and unhappiness have no meaning for an enlightened one. The Buddha said that the enlightened ones were far from defilements. This doesn't mean that they ran away from defilements. They didn't run away anywhere. Defilements were there. He compared it to a lotus leaf in a pond of water. The leaf and the water exist together. They are in contact, but the leaf doesn't become damp. The water is like defilements, and the lotus leaf is the enlightened mind. The mind of one who practices is the same. It doesn't run away anywhere. It stays right there. Good, evil, happiness and unhappiness, right and wrong, all arise. And one knows them all. The meditator simply knows them. They don't enter their mind. That is, they have no clinging. One is simply the experiencer. To say one simply experiences is our common relative language. In the language of Dharma, we say one lets their mind follow the middle way.